Hooligans, bitch. It's your boys, as always, Chad and Michael. Yo. Back again. Chad, dang it, man.
Before you get into anything, I need to issue an apology to you. To Liverpool, the club, Liverpool, the fans. This one's on me. I brought Salah into my fantasy team.
Damn it.
He'd been performing well. He was on the door.
He's not on the door anymore, Chad.
3 weeks here.
You know how sad I was to take that down?
I'll take the blame on this one. I'm going to take the blame. Just had to get that out in the front. I was feeling guilty.
For those of you who don't know, Chad makes incredible fantasy soccer subs. And every week, they blow us out of the water with their performances. And Salah, again, showed why he needed to be on Chad's club at this exact moment against a team that hasn't beat Liverpool at home in 55 years. This was the day, Chad.
You know, all the stars aligned and
I saw the automation. I saw the automation and I was like, oh no. But also I understand.
Yeah.
Deep down. Deep down.
It'll come back around. Don't worry.
Chad, I've been waiting to open this beer all day, so I'm going to get to it. Space Camper Boulevard Beer out of St. Louis.
Wonderful.
Yep. I'm cracking it.
Good. I got the joyful 23 flavors of a Dr. Pepper in here.
You said soda, and I was like, what are you coming back with?
Oh, that's nice.
Much needed. Been a day, been a weekend. Let's get into it. Where shall we start? The highs, the lows?
I don't know. You want to get through yours?
I do.
Okay, yeah.
I do want to vent. Everyone came back from the international break. We're not the only team here that had to shake off this, it's hard to call it rust, but I really hated the timing of this one. I think we could all agree. I think we all thought 3 weeks in, it felt really soon to then have to take 2 weeks off. But boy, did it really show what 2 weeks of not being together could look like for our team, because we were clicking at the highest of levels before this break started. And I think when we came back, the expectations were super high back at home against Forest, a team who, I mean, at this point right now, I think I'm regretting how low I have them on my table considering how well they've played under Nuno. And hell, if they would have won the week before they left for international break, they'd be the second best team in the Premier League right now, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
I can't expect it to last, but that's the type of ball they've been playing, and you can't fault them for it, because I think Liverpool kind of had the idea that they would continue to slice and dice them. And, you know, without going into the game, Liverpool's bread and butter has been this beautiful counterattack they've been showing. Diaz flying down the flanks, Salah finding little webs to throw passes into. And what Forrest really decided to do that day was to not allow kind of an open field of play to be had.
Yeah.
They sat back 90% of that game and kept everything away from the goal. And when the ball was starting to come goal side, dude, they just packed the box. There was nowhere to go. Salah looked like he had no idea where to go with the ball. It just looked like we were a little lost. And so I'm almost glad it happened early, this early, four games in, to kind of see, okay, where are we struggling? And it's definitely this. This is the playbook for those teams who think they might struggle or they're not going to score goals against Liverpool, right? Because I think that game could have very well ended 0-0, right?
Yeah.
It probably should have. And Forrest had a lucky break. I don't want to call it lucky. It was the right time to have a boost of energy onto the field. Elanga came in and he just had some speed on him, and he was ready to go at Liverpool's backline. Again, there's not too much to highlight off of our team, just because we had so many. It felt like we had so many chances in their final third that just were nowhere close to being finished. I felt like we were down there forever, and frustration just kept continuing to grow. It was like snowballing frustration, and that sucks when you can't break through, because there's no like pop pent-up frustration. So, you know, when we saw the subs coming in, I thought for sure Trent was gonna get taken out. His body language looked off. His passes weren't connecting. We really weren't utilizing, I think, his long balls enough, just because Forrest was allowing Liverpool to take that half of the possession, their side of the field, and just giving it to them. So it never, yeah. Trent was like almost useless this game. And then when I saw Connor Bradley warming up, and Nunez, and then Gakpo, I was like, okay, for sure Trent's coming out. We're going to have Bradley probably play more of the wing. We're going to get some height in the box with Nunez and Gakpo. I was like, I had a vision of what was to come. And then Slot did something that I didn't expect. He kept Trent on and put him in the midfield.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest question mark I've had for this whole season. It's like, okay. I was like, why? I wonder what he saw that I didn't. And I'm curious, what's your interpretation on that?
I mean, like you said, the Trent big balls over the defense, you know, the big switches.
They're beautiful.
They're great, but they weren't going to happen this game just because... Yep. Forrest clearly set up that way. So I think Slot was maybe hoping by, you know, getting Trent in the midfield, like he can still make a nice, a good pass, a slick pass through the lanes. So I think he was maybe hoping for some of that, of just like not these big switches or anything, but like try and just break through this block and just find Salah on the run or you know, Gakpo, Nunez, whoever it might be. Or just, you know, get him in closer positions to throw some crosses into the box now that you got some height in the box. But yeah, I don't know. I think it by that point, it felt like there was just maybe too much frustration within the team and the stadium and stuff, that it was just like a little bit of it. Either people were going to try too hard, or they were just like so frustrated already that they didn't not check out. But, you know, it like... things just don't click and it hadn't been. And yeah, I think it was just a bad day at the office for Liverpool, really, you know, not one you want to lose, but I think, like you said, probably a good one to lose early. So Slot knows, okay, well, I mean, I'm sure he had an idea that, you know, smaller teams will sit back and, you know, try and crowd the box, but like to now have a good example front and like foremost there to learn from, I guess. Good to do that early and then just, you know, figure out what to do. Like maybe move Trent into the midfield earlier if he feels like that's the way forward, or, you know, tweak whatever in the front line he needs to tweak to kind of get that, be able to break that down.
Mm-hmm. I think, again, Forrest loved to compact the box, but what we saw in this game, too, was the mishandling of anything in the air. Sells almost gifted us one. Like
that was almost the Slot, you know, ball up into the sun, blind you.
So from that point on, I wish I would have kept track. I was way too into the game, but I would have loved to know how many balls in the air we were putting in the box after it. By my judgment, it didn't feel like a whole lot after that, because they were like most of the possession was Salah kind of playing right into the 18-yard box and then either looking for someone or looking for a shot, but there was always a person in front of him, and he was trying so hard to, it was almost forcing it a little too much, instead of maybe like backing the ball back out and kind of restarting this possession. I personally would have loved to see more of Connor Bradley bombing down the wing and just crossing them in, earning corners. I think if we would have punished them with corner kicks, a mistake would have happened, a deflection would have happened. That's where I think Virgil and Konate, they're huge. That's where we needed to focus if nothing was happening in the middle of the field, because they're blocking everything. I mean, I'm curious now to see how many block shots they had, because I felt like it was just over and over and over. Not a whole lot, I guess, three, but I feel like a lot of missed passes in that final third that just had no idea behind where they were going, just trying to find a place for it to go, and no real, what's the final, I can't think of the final word here, the execution at the end just never happened. So tough. Yeah. This is a tough one for sure.
definitely a tough one. You know, not the game you would expect to lose, and you know, I think as much as you don't want to blame an international break, like this one, I think just did come at such a wrong time for a lot of teams. But like Liverpool is, you know, start under a new manager, and you know, it's still a lot of ideas that are probably not fully realized or fully understood yet in the training, and then you had to have people now taking time away from that and then come back in. I think you saw that, like, it disrupted the flow in Liverpool, as it did with a lot of teams, I think. So I mean, really, like, you don't need this international break 3 matches in, like, well, let these teams and players kind of get up to speed before we start sending them out.
And how much frustration on club teams with this international break of this United Nations tournament with the injuries. Harvey Elliott, who has been on fire for us, you know, slow start this season, but that's fine. I expect a lot out of him, and now he's going to be out for too long for when we need him, especially because Curtis Jones, who just came back, you know, he's got to go through his I guess fitness test, getting back into shape, and that's going to take a minute. So yeah, Elliott's broken foot. We're looking at probably the next 3 to 4 weeks without him. So, bummer, because he's looking really nice.
Yeah, and he was always provided a nice spark when he came in. Too. So, you know, that's a bummer to miss that. But I do have a question. Do you think, so, you know, Nottingham Forest away kits, a light blue, sky blue, is that like a mental game now of like Liverpool thinks they're maybe playing a little bit of City? So they're maybe psyching themselves out.
I wish they would have wore red. It would have been Man United, and probably would have smoked them.
True.
I mean, maybe. You know, I think the difference is City would have attacked a little more, and we would have had to do a little bit more of the opposite. But, you know, City, when they don't have the ball, they do defend like that. They compact up, get possession, and then keep possession for X amount of time. I won't lie, it did look like City out there, but damn, man, to beat United that easily 2 weeks ago and then to come into Forest and struggle like this, it's a roller coaster, and that's what the season's going to be.
Yeah, and now you're throwing you know, Champions League into the mix now and getting all that started. So
AC Milan this week.
You know, I think it'll be a quick bounce back for Liverpool. I don't think they'll stay down for too long, but just a little bump in the road.
I think this is one of the few teams in the league who's going to play this defensive-minded and look good while doing it. So, again, kudos to Forest, man. First win at Anfield in 55 years. Anfield looked like they were ready to rock in the beginning of that game. And then it just slowly withered away. The energy was slowly dying out. Sells gave us a little bit of life when he almost let that goal in. But that was it. And I thought it went in, too. First glance, wild. So that's about it. We go again. We got AC Milan on Thursday and then Bournemouth on the weekend. So I expect a nice bounce back from Bournemouth. We cannot sleep on them, but I do expect Bournemouth to be more lively than Forest, which, again, lively teams open us up to do what we need to do. So, again, we still got a good stretch of teams here that we should handle. Bournemouth, West Ham, Wolves, and Crystal Palace. I guess the West Ham game is not in the league, but hopefully momentum builder.
Sure.
All right, that's my Liverpool rant.
Well, you know, since we talk about a team defending really well in a game, getting a little smash and grab, we got to go North London Derby then.
We have to. It's time. Tell me all about it. I only caught little segments of the game, but enough to get the whole gist of it. But please, start to finish. Let's do it.
Well, basically, you know, again, international break rearing its head. Odegaard is out for 2-ish weeks, maybe. So, you know, obviously missed this game. Calafiori got the craziest injury to his calf.
What is it? What was the injury?
They just said calf injury. But it was that one where Dembele, like, flips and hits the back of his calf as he's running away. Like, not even part of the challenge. So
did they give it a timeline? Look.
I didn't see anything.
Two weeks.
He was... Okay, yeah. He was kind of like hit or miss if he was going to make it. So, you know, just depends, I guess. I don't think there'd be an actual injury in that. It didn't look like it was that bad. I thought it was more just kind of a contact thing. But I don't know. Enough to keep him out here. And then I guess Zinchenko picked up something in practice. We know Rice is suspended and Marino is out. So that left Arsenal with four teenagers on the bench for, you know, rivalry game. So great. but yeah, on the flip side, you know, Tottenham was basically full strength. I think this would probably be their starting lineup, only missing Richarlison and Bissouma. So
yeah,
maybe they slide in, but, you know, I don't think so. But I think Arteta, you know, he said he had obviously a game plan going into this game, you know, in the weeks leading up to it, but then had to change it as every few days he seemed to be losing key players. So he went up with, you know, basically a 4-4-2, which I think was the smartest play here to, you know, just shore up the midfield and defense. And almost just kind of let Spurs have the ball and play with it, which seems to be their downfall sometimes, of like, if you don't let them play their kind of high-line counterattack, they struggle to kind of create, which I think was a lot of their issue here, honestly. You know, I think they ended the game with 74% possession or something like that. But, you know, created very little in that. And, you know, not that Arsenal created much either, but certainly I think created more threatening situations. There was an early header from Havertz that got bopped around a little bit on the line before it got cleared out. Martinelli got on a little break, and he had like a couple-second window to cross the ball into Saka. And, you know, it was more or less a tap-in, but... I don't know if he didn't see it or just, you know, didn't think that he could really complete that pass. So takes his own shot and saved easy enough. But it was, you know, the cracks were there on Tottenham's side. Like, they weren't playing their super high line that they normally play, but it was still pretty high considering, you know, the Arsenal front three was Martinelli, Saka, you know, Havertz and Trossard. So a lot of speed up there, a lot of creativity if you need it. But yeah, as a neutral, this might have been a boring game, but like as a fan of one side, it was, you know, very back and forth in, like, I guess defensive moments for the first half. Each team felt like they didn't want to like fully pull the trigger. You know, Tottenham had a good look here or there. Solanke had like a nice kind of big looping header, but just David Raya, I think, just tipped it away or it just like went wide. But then, yeah, we come in second half. Been having corners all day. Sokka's been taking just the worst corners I've seen.
Oh, and no, really? Noticing bad?
I've kind of felt like his corners have been bad all season. I think it's part of just the play that they want to run. I think they want to do like a near post kind of flick on thing, but I don't feel like Saka gets the height that he needs on that a lot of the times. But then, yeah, we get into just a nice floated corner, center of the 6-yard box, you know, no fancy play going on really. And then Gabriel gets a little bit of space from Amaro, jumps up and just lasers that ball right in, like right above Vicario. I was surprised he didn't get a hand to it. And you know, it's game on now. We're in the lead. We're moving. We're grooving. Big Gabby's yelling. You know,
can I stop you there?
Great.
The space that Gabby got on Romero. Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
Was it enough of a push where you thought it could come back? Do you have that thought?
A little bit. Like, I think in live play. It didn't jump out to me as too much. It looked more of like Romero just not kind of holding his ground, I guess. Had he fallen to the ground, I think it for sure gets called back. But, you know, and it's just hard when they slow down the replay a little bit more. And,
sure.
You know, it looks worse. But I don't think there was enough there, certainly for VAR to step in and say anything if the ref didn't call anything on the field. I know, you know, Tottenham fans probably feel the opposite, but
it's possible.
You know, it was just a weird kind of situation because, yeah, he gets that space, but, like, it seemed like Romero just stopped playing right then too. He just kind of paused, like he was ready for the call to be made or something. So I don't know. I mean, contentious maybe, but you score the goal and you let the refs figure it out afterwards, I guess.
I think that type of push happens all the time.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So it wasn't anything egregious. It felt like just enough. Any more would have been really close because he did extend his arms, right? Mm-hmm. But the power that he had behind it didn't. It looked moderate at best. Yeah. I think Romero's momentum was going that way anyway, and it would have been interesting to see if Gabby had no interaction with Romero there. How far apart they still would have been? I don't believe just the way they were running. There's no way Romero would have been able to then back up to get that. He maybe could have been in Gabby's way a little bit, but Gabby, he's huge, man. He just gets up there and he gets it. So I'm not too shocked by that. I just, your wording was very specific. So I wanted to make sure that,
no, I see what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a push. Like you said, like we've seen on every set piece, every corner, you know, but I think had Romero fallen, that maybe gets called. Like, just because that's kind of the game, right? But so thank you for standing up and trying to continue to play, I guess. Well, you paused. But, yeah, you know, it doesn't seem like, from what I've seen on Reddit so far, of being anything, like, too, you know, like a nitpick point on the game
or
on the reffing, but I mean, it's just that's how it went. I don't know,
it happens. And this one just happened to be a goal off of it, so
yeah,
you know, here we are. I do want to say though, I had one other note. When Saliba grabbed that ball and started walking away with it, I'd say jogging away with it. What was your first reaction? Because I was like, this is for sure going to be a yellow. I saw it coming, and then they act surprised when it happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's these will more or less get called a little bit more than, you know, they have been for the next couple weeks as the refs kind of stick to their guns about this. But then at the same time, you know, there's still other moments in this game from Tottenham players where they're delaying a restart and they don't get carded, or other games this weekend. So I think, like, right now, specifically Arsenal players will be under a little bit more of a, you know, under a little bit more scrutiny in the delayed restarts. So it's just something they have to be aware of and cautious of. But I mean, on that, like, Saliba picked up that yellow card at 15 minutes. Timber at 35, like, Tottenham needs to be driving at those guys and really making them defend well.
Sure.
or if not, putting them in, you know, a bad situation where potentially they get another yellow or you know, whatever it might be, or they don't want to make the tackle because they don't want to get the second yellow. But they didn't really do that, so I don't know. I mean, a weird game, I think, from Tottenham. Like, you know, you're coming up against an Arsenal team with, you know, a kind of makeshift midfield with Partey and Jorginho, and, like, yeah, they're both quality players, but they're not the quickest. Like, you should be able to play through them fairly easy. And I don't know. I feel like clearly the Son-Solanke relationship hasn't formed yet. They didn't really play off of each other much, and You know, Son was pretty quiet out on the wing, which is, you know, maybe credit to Arsenal a little bit in doing that. But, you know, I think Tottenham fans and, you know, even players and coach will probably be disappointed that you have a weekend Arsenal team and you can't get anything out of it. Like, yeah, Arsenal defended pretty deep and you know, kind of let Tottenham just do what they wanted with the ball for the most part. But, like, you got to get something in there. You got James Maddison. He can create enough. You got Kulusevski. He's good at dribbling and you know, broke through a moment or two here and there. But, like, it's just a rough one to take for them, I think, because, you know, any team you come up against that's missing such key players, like, you got to take advantage of that. And to not do that at home, I think, just probably stings a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. I think most Arsenal fans are on the same page here that y'all were kind of nervous coming into this weekend. Yeah. You know, losing the players who have been starting for you, and then, of course, coming into, you know, the most rivaled game in your history, arguably, and then coming away with a 1-0 victory, being down this many men, it's got to feel good. And now we're on, this is the worst Tottenham has started a season in 9 years now, with 4 points. And in the first 10 games, last year, Tottenham had, I believe, 26 points, and now in the last 26 games, they've only accumulated 30-ish. So they're definitely slowing down a ton since the beginning of last season, which we talked about. Their schedule favored them so much in the beginning of their year, and now it's definitely catching up to them.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too, is, like, we've talked about Ange only wants to play, like, his one version of football, and that's it, and you know, that can work for a time, but then once you get figured out, like, you have to change and adapt, or, like, even as the game progresses, you have to be able to change and adapt, and, like, they, not only this game, but I think every game, they're not really doing that, which, you know, is something to be said about, I guess, if you want to stick to your game plan, and, like, this is how you like your team to play, and, you know, you've had some success with it, but I think when you get to, you know, the high level that Premier League is, it's, you need to be able to switch it up here and there, and certainly have a game plan to break down defenses, because, like, I mean, even with Liverpool, you know, you see, like, teams will sit back and it becomes hard, and Arsenal have come up against that as well, of, you know, teams just sit back and it's hard to break down and get through, but, like, there's got to be something you can try in there to unlock it a little bit, but you know, I don't know. Tottenham's just moving along, and I think I think if they're smart, they stick with Ange.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's the right pick for them. I think they just need, personally, I think they need a better right winger. Ben Johnson's over there right now. I'm surprised Kulusevski isn't playing in that spot, and they're doing something else with their midfield.
I was surprised at that too.
I mean, I guess it's nice when you can have Kulusevski be your right center mid, but probably not his best position, right? You want him up there dribbling. His dribbling is sweet. You want him in the box. You want him creating a little bit of chaos. So that was my one moment in that game. And here's a corrected stat, Chad. After picking up 26 points in the first 10 Premier League games last year, Tottenham has just collected 44 points from the last 32 games. So that's a big drop off.
That is a big drop. Yeah, you know, they got some things to work out, but, you know, I've seen the comments already, you know, questioning if Ainge should go or you know, all that. And I don't think that's worth it. I think just on, like, visual play of Tottenham, they look much better than they have in years past. And you know, it's, if he continues down this road and it doesn't work out, then okay, just go your separate way. But, like, I don't think from a rival fan and outside perspective, I have seen enough to think, like, oh, he's on, you know, borrowed time or anything. Like, I think he's okay. Just, like, give him the support and let him figure out what he needs to do.
I would have loved to see this Ange ball with Harry Kane. I think it would have been pretty interesting. Yeah. People forget, you know, it was just 3 years ago. You had Harry Kane breaking records as your striker. And, yeah, when you don't have a record-breaking striker anymore, your team is going to look vastly different.
Sure.
So, you know, patience is key here. But, I mean, for him to do what he did with a team that was arguably not that great last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think most realistic Spurs fans had no high expectations last year. And to finish, did they get top five?
Fifth, maybe?
I think it was top five, yeah. Not bad, right?
No, not bad.
So, will they replicate it this year? I think they need to unlock Solanke.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need a little more depth on the right side. And I think your back line's nice. I think you have a solid back line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have Højbjerg anymore, and that was a good plug for your midfield when you needed some physicality. You needed a little bit of an edge in some games. He was there to provide that. And you look at this team now, and it's like, who's that guy that has that kind of toughness to him?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's... I don't know who you would say now. I mean, I guess like Romero, but, you know, he's always going to be on the back line there. You need someone in that midfield kind of destroyer role, right?
To
really shut teams up or just help on defense. I don't know. I mean, I think their signings have just been a little bit weird. You know, Timo Werner.
Oh, man. Okay. Forgot about him. He's there, yeah, huh? Like, he's there.
He's good cover, but you know, I don't know if he's worth to bring on. Odegaard from Burnley, like, I don't really know what he did last season. Apparently, you know, good enough, but it wasn't one of the names on Burnley that jumped out at me as, you know, deserves a big team move. I don't know. It's not too worried about what Tottenham does, but at the same time, it's like, it's nice to have a healthy rivalry and not like completely, you know, vastly different levels.
Like Man Union, Liverpool, I know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just it's too easy. So.
Once you start tickling your rival, man, it's you're done. It's not a rivalry anymore. You're done.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, all right. I think that's all my notes there for that game. What about yourself?
Pretty much that. I wanted to shout out, you know, Gabriel, gets the goal, but he was also just a beast in the back line all day. You know, Raya commanded the area well, came out for crosses, you know, was making all the saves he needed to make. And Timber, I think, is probably ended Zinchenko's career here at Arsenal. He's like a younger, better Zinchenko. So,
a little more reliable.
Yeah, thank you for your service, but probably leaving sooner rather than later.
You think he's getting a great exit?
I wouldn't be surprised, but at the same time, I think Arteta would probably try to keep him at least through the season.
Yeah.
If not just for depth, just more, you know, leadership.
Sure.
And experience in the locker room.
Seems like the player that doesn't... Won't cause drama if he's not playing.
Yeah, I think so.
It's fair. Well, if you want to jump to the counterpart of Raya, Aaron Ramsdale over in Southampton. They let Man United beat them 3-0, but boy, Ramsdale's going to have a long year.
Yeah, he's definitely going to age a few years this season.
That was tough. Tough to watch, especially against a Man U team who has shown us almost nothing up until this point. And even their goals here, it's kind of shocking. At least the first two, the De Ligt goal, you know, nice header, but everyone was just kind of on their heels. It didn't look like anyone was really trying to fight for it.
Who's playing defense? Because, like, it felt like the whole United team just, like, moved through the line.
And that ball went so far across the box to get to go into the other side of the goal. That one, I was like, wow, okay, it felt kind of lucky. But then the Rashford goal, oh, my Lord. Like, happy for Rashford. Glad he got on the score sheet. Yeah. He's been on a drought. But Ramsdale's vision was blocked. And I don't know why he didn't move out of that zone when Rashford had the ball. I think Rashford saw he couldn't see it. And, yeah, he hit it hard, but that looked like a skip pass to that post.
Yeah. For me, it felt like, you know, Rashford was trying to place that, which he did well, but it also felt just like a hopeful kind of, like, shot.
I think he was shocked it went in. Yeah. Not because, and again, not because of where he put it, just how far it had to go in the pace that was on it.
Yes.
It felt so slow. And then he went in and he like was, it almost looked like he shook his head like, wow, like that's insane. That went in. So
yeah,
that was my takeaway. And the Garnacho goal, fine. At that point, Southampton had folded and it didn't really matter. Yeah. But definitely,
yeah. I'm just surprised. Like, I didn't expect Southampton to really come up and do a lot, but I expected them to, I guess, be a little bit better defensively, you know, knowing that you're not at the same level as these Premier League teams that have been here and you know, have the money to spend and all that, but, like, they seem just so disorganized in defense, and like, I don't know how much of the team from last year carried up to Premier League. I'd assume most, but like, I don't know how you get promoted to the championship and with a disorganized defense, and you know, so I don't know what's happened, but they gotta figure it out quick, because you know, you're dropping points, and you can't really afford to drop that many points. And there's little upside, I think, from what I can see.
Well, they got Ipswich next, and Ipswich held Brighton to a draw. And I think we're both probably in agreement. Ipswich, out of the three teams that came up, can probably hold their own the most. Leicester is such a interesting team. I feel like they should be better at this point, but they're not. So at this point, the three teams that came up, I think Ipswich kind of has the edge right now. I think they're a little hungrier. I think since they're so fresh to Premier League, they won't take it for granted. So I don't think Southampton's going to get it done against them either. I think it's going to take a while, and it's going to be a surprise victory when it finally happens.
If they even get just like a clean sheet, Ramsdale's just going to just like, he's going to have the best week of his life. The pressure is off. You know, he can go home and just relax. He doesn't have to worry about the three goals he let in or
well, the defense did. I hope his confidence is getting too shot, because most of these goals are just like, what? The worst thing about being on a bad soccer team is most of those goals on a good team just never, those shots never even happen. Teams don't even have the opportunity to do it. So you just get punished and punished and punished. So that's why I think it's going to be a long season for him. And I hope he just makes it more of a learning experience rather than a fight to, those three teams that came in, I love when relegated teams stay up.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I don't think Southampton can do it.
Yeah, I don't think Southampton will do it unless they really turn it around. Because at this point, I'd say every practice, we're just practicing defense, staying organized.
Organized,
and,
yep.
You know, start from there and then build out, because struggle bus for real.
Because you're not scoring.
No, exactly. So
one goal in four games, lowest in the Premier League. But Chad, there might be someone worse.
Oh boy!
Is this the greatest collapse of a Premier League team ever? And we're only four games in.
Yeah, I mean,
Everton.
I feel bad to keep shitting on Everton because
they're letting us.
They're just in, you know, they're in a bad spot generally. And then finally we start to see some decent performances.
Goals.
But then it all, yeah.
Multiple.
Yeah, like, but then it all comes crashing down almost immediately.
It's pretty shocking how fast they crumble.
Yeah.
Now, we never expected them to be in this game.
Absolutely not.
So kudos to them.
To go up two.
To go up two, and then to just let it slowly chip away. Oh. Now, possibly we might have seen the greatest goal of Premier League this season in this game, but I don't understand how they're just letting, I don't know, these late end game collapses. Is it the rotation? Is it the subbing? Are these guys just not fresh? You know, Calvert-Lewin had two opportunities in this game to really score. I saw that the XG off the post is like 0.8, which is insanely high. And then the other one where he was one-on-one with the keeper, and I'm not sure who the defender was, just came in
and
pickpocketed him like that. And he was like mind blown that someone would come and defend him. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah. It just, I feel like that back line of Tarkowski and Keane just, I know they kind of have to do that right now with Branthwaite still out, but like, it's just not working. I think they're maybe too similar of players where like, they're not really going to be too aggressive in the challenge. They're going to kind of let the ball come to them. But I mean, even here, you know, Keane goes up for the header and just misses it. Let's Ollie out jump him, which, like, you know, this is Everton defense, Sean Dyche defense, bread and butter. You should be clearing those balls in your sleep like it's nothing. So maybe when Branthwaite comes back, it'll get a little better for them, but I don't know. It's not a good look to have this happen twice. Back to back.
I wouldn't be shocked if Everton don't even play Branthwaite and sell him in the winter and just make sure he doesn't get injured. You know, maybe bring him in a little bit.
Money,
but I mean, he'll sell. I bet he'll sell for 30, 40 plus.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, United were looking at him, but Everton wanted, I think, like 60 or something, which is definitely pricey. But I mean, yeah, if you get winter and you see your season is, you know, probably not going to end with you staying in the Premier League, maybe sell early and you know, probably get a little bit more money compared to when you're already relegated and people like know you need to sell.
Right.
So, yeah. But I mean, Ollie Watkins, he's scoring again.
He back.
Is he back? I don't know. I don't know if he's back. He missed some sitters, you know?
Yeah, he should have had a hat trick, I think.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But, you know, nice to see him scoring again. I'm sure Villa and fans were shocked to be down two goals to Everton, but
what the
good for them to make the comeback.
So let's talk Duran really quick. He's only had three starts in the Premier League. How many games has he played total? Let's see. I don't have that exact number in front of me, but I can tell you it's probably around, we'll go rough number here, 30-ish. But he has 8 goals in those 30 games. And this season he has 3 goals in 103 minutes.
It's a great return.
Great return. 2.66 goals per 90. When will we see him play these full 90s, Chad?
I mean, it just depends how good you're feeling with Ollie, I think.
Why can't we do both?
Just don't think Emery wants to play that way. I think he'd rather, you know, have just either some, like, more winger types on the field, or, like, today is kind of just three attacking mids behind him. But I think both could work really well, you know? They're both quick enough to be threatening, you know, clearly both goal threats. I think you could, if you want a winger kind of role, you could probably push Ollie out a little bit. He has the speed to do it. I think you probably got to find a way to get them both in there.
Well, when the dude's pulling up from 40 yards out, like, it's nothing.
Yeah, or he's just, you know, it might be one of those, or he's just that super sub and you know, you utilize him like that, but don't know how long he'll want to play that role when, you know, if he could go to a different team and actually play the full 90. But, I don't know. I think this Villa team hasn't hit their peak formation yet for this season. Like, I think Mattson has to get in there and start. I know Dean got an assist today, but look, Mattson was in there. He's making some great passes into Ollie Watkins. He's bombing down the wing. I think he's ready. I think just get him in there. Let him start cooking with the team.
I don't want to say the drought is because they're not playing Mattson for Watkins, but I do think if they go on another drought in the way Emery likes to play with these wingers, it just doesn't make any sense why you wouldn't want to have Mattson in there. Or if you do go on another drought, Duran's got to be on your guy, because this was Watkins' first scoring game of the season, right? He hasn't scored previous. Yeah. And while Duran has been essentially keeping them afloat through these first four games. So, I don't know. It's good to have options, right? It's good to have some flexibility. But when you have this caliber of players sitting on your bench for, you know, almost 75-80% of the game, let's get a full 100%. Let's see what happens. And, you know, then you're not in this tricky situation being down 2-0 against Everton up until, gosh, when did they finally score? I guess at the 36th minute, but still, the goal should have never happened.
Exactly.
Yeah. Great goals, right? The McNeil goal was awesome. I think the Calvert-Lewin goal, they wish they could take back, but and then you're playing catch up. It's like Aston Villa has the quality to not be playing catch up.
Oh yeah, for sure.
To this type of team.
Yeah. Well, you know, Villa's also in Champions League, so we might get to see, you know, Duran there, or even in games just as you know, rotation is needed. So I think that it will come, but I don't know what Emery is waiting for, because you got some heavy hitters on that bench, and time to get them in from the start. You know?
Let's go. It's time, Emery. It's time. Mm-hmm. Okay, City Brentford, Chad. I had hope. Did you have hope?
boy, did I. You know, goal right away. It looked like, you know, coach didn't even know what was going on. It looked, he turned to the bench to, I think, just go sit down, and all of a sudden everyone's cheering. And then what? I think 2 minutes later or something, they had another good chance. You know, a lot of good early pressure from Brentford. And it's like, Brentford came to play.
They came to play. They weren't
going to, you know, let City kind of just dominate. And, I mean, they kind of end up doing that. But it was a nice start.
It was a nice start. It would have been an even better finish if Haaland didn't exist. 9 goals in 4 games. Most goals through 4 games we've had. Pep has said this is like peak striker. I've never seen anything better in training. And I think we've been in agreement a lot today. He looks amazing. This is like different. This is different from the first year or the second year. It looks like he's doing it kind of more on his own. It looks like he's these power shots, right? He's not slotting it in. He's not heading in. He's banging them in. Yeah. And that's pretty terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, between that and I think City is just starting to look at the runs he makes, and unfortunately finding him with their passes, because, you know, that was a threat that we saw in brief moments in past seasons, and then they never really utilized, and this season it seems like, you know, a couple times a game, he's always making those runs, but a couple times a game, they're finding him with those passes, and, you know, here he just, a very smart little bump off of Pinnick.
Oh, so smart, and I saw complaints about it, too, and I was like, there's nothing wrong with that. He had great positioning.
Yeah, just the perfect understanding of like how to create the space in that situation. Yep. And then, you know, once he's through, he's not missing that, especially in the current form he's in. So
God no.
But you know, Brentford didn't let him get a hat trick, so that's almost a win.
Almost. And Haaland, you know, he had a tough week. He lost his childhood friend. They didn't think he was going to play this game. So for him to still come out and be this effective is pretty insane. But just want to quickly bring this up. So this City squad is very similar to how they kind of set up 2 years ago. Gundogan and KDB back. Savinho reminds me of Mahrez so much. And I think Pep likes those right wingers who are kind of just skinny and agile and are just super flashy and fast. And this team is just, I don't know, they feel different. It feels different from last year, where last year it was, I felt like they were just putting stuff together last minute and saying, we're better than them, go figure it out. While this year, besides their back line right now looks open.
Yeah.
Errors everywhere and open. That's where if you want to beat this team, that's where you got to expose them, is putting pressure on their center backs and Ederson. Because Ederson, I don't know what's going on mentally with him. He just looks severely out of it. But their midfield and their forwards right now, you take out Haaland, sure, someone else will score goals, not to the same degree. But the setup role players they have right now, and Kovacic too, is like, of course, playing like something else. You know, he was the Gundogan replacement, and now you got Gundogan and Kovacic out there.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's wild. This team is broken. Yeah. Feels like a cheat code.
No, yeah, you're right. Like, it's midfield and forward is figured out. Like, they're good. They have the players they need in the positions. Back line, though, yeah, like you said, is something is just so off back there. Like, they don't look as organized as they normally would. They just don't look as confident back there. You know, Ederson is making some weird mistakes almost every game now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming Pep is working on, you know, defensive stuff to get that figured out, but you know, it I think is giving teams a little bit of hope of like, okay, well, yeah, we can just get down there and you know, we have a little bit more of a chance, but then you just have to stop them from scoring, which is a very tough task.
It ain't easy. No. Not right now. It's almost impossible right now. So, yeah, hopefully someone, I believe in someone, one team has to be able to do it.
Someone will. I don't know if it's going to be Arsenal next week, but...
I believe in you.
I'm up for the fight, but, you know, it just... I mean, Rice will be back.
Okay.
Odegaard, they said maybe he's back. But, I mean, I don't know. It just... Those games are always so tough. You know, it's master versus apprentice, right? Like, pretty much the same game plans going at it head to head, and you know, just kind of almost just comes down to the individual player performances on the day. So I'm hopeful. I want Arsenal to be the one, but we'll see.
Believe, Chad, believe. All right. Ooh, Chelsea Bournemouth. I thought we were going to see another 0-0 game this weekend. When Nkunku comes in, 6 touches on the ball total, scores an amazing goal.
Great, yeah.
And like, okay, all these teams seem to have this spark plug player that keeps getting brought in. I want to see him play more. He's been looking great. I mean,
yeah.
How many goals is that on the season for him now?
I think he had 2, but I don't think it was in the league.
Oh, that was his only one. Yeah, okay, that was his only one. But, you know, you have Madueke, Jackson, and Cuckoo. Those guys should be locks. Yeah. Locks for starting with Cole Palmer behind them.
Yeah, I mean, Neto's been getting the starts, which I think is good, but I think he should work better with Jackson, but I think Jackson just still has that knack to, like, miss a good opportunity.
A sitter.
Where I think you maybe just... I would maybe start Nkuku above Jackson right now just because he does kind of have that speed and dribbling and, you know, the good shot placement like he did here. I don't know. It's a weird front line that they have. You know, I don't think they have necessarily one, like, standout player. Like, they're all very good, I'd say. But I think it'll just come down to, like, what relationships builds quickly and most strong of all of them.
Well, Sancho and Nkuku look nice together. They vibed off each other very quickly in the matter of minutes that they had on the pitch together. So I like Sancho out there. I need to watch more of what Neto is trying to do with Jackson. But that's not even the highlight of the game, Chad. Most yellow cards ever in a Premier League game. Are you surprised?
I think my only surprise is that it was Bournemouth-Chelsea. Like, I'm not surprised Chelsea on that, but I thought it would have been, I don't know, some like more rivalry kind of game that would give us the most yellows in a game. But I mean, Anthony Taylor, you know, if he can't be center of attention in the game, he's going to make sure his name is on there somewhere. So he said, a new record with me attached to it, I'm in.
The previous record only stood for a year, and he said, it's my turn to have at it. 14 cards is a lot, Chad. He has 22 on the season now. It's pretty extreme. I mean, and most of these cards, I don't believe more than maybe one or two was for time wasting. It was all just tackles. And I was like, I guess you're going to card that. I guess you can card that one too. Like, okay, card that one as well. Like, why not? You did it earlier. Let's keep doing it.
I mean, at least he's consistent.
Yeah, consistently soft, for sure. So
yeah, I mean, again, it's like one of those things where the league, you know, wants these games to kind of be physical and let some of these tougher challenges go. But then you have these games where it's like you sneeze on the guy and that's a yellow.
Heaven forbid the ball hits your ankle.
Yeah.
Wild, wild. But Chelsea, I think, is very lucky to escape this with the win.
I think Bournemouth had a good number of opportunities, especially early.
The PK.
I mean, they had the PK too, yeah. You know, good on Chelsea, I guess, to get it, but I'm just a little bummed. I thought Bournemouth could do it. You know, that I picked them in our Pick'ems League.
Oh, did you? Everyone had a pretty bad week in Pick'ems, as far as I could tell.
Yeah, so. it was a rough week for me there. You know, but I think Bournemouth still looked good. Just couldn't find the final ball.
Hmm.
And then to miss the PK is always a bummer. But
never helps.
No.
Well, Hector's killing Pick'em League right now. 15 total. He got 4 this week.
Oh, lucky.
Jordan got 4 this week. All right. Game on. Game on, boys. All right. Anything else from that game for yourself?
No. Not really, no.
Yeah, pretty straightforward there. Fulham and West Ham. I want so much more out of Fulham here. Mm-hmm. And they are so lucky to even get a point. Danny Ings with just a opportunity and happened to find a way to get it in. Leno even had hands on it. Very lucky to escape with a point there. And it's crazy, though. That attack they had where Bowen kind of drove the lane off the throw-in. Remember that funnel thing I told you about? Very hard to defend? That's exactly what they did there. And when I went back, I kind of skimmed through that game a little bit as it was happening. That was the only time I ever saw him do that. And I feel like that is where they need to be crashing the box hard, like how they did there at the very end. What, there was 1 minute left in the game when they did that goal? This team has so much attacking power in their midfields and their forwards. And like other teams, when are we going to see Somerville playing these whole games? When are we going to see more Fulkrug instead of Danny? Like, I want to know what's going on there. Why did you bring in Fulkrug if we're not even playing him here and you're still playing Danny Ings?
Yeah, that's a weird miss. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could argue he's just, you know, working up to speed to figure out tactics or whatever. But I mean, really, like, he came off a good Euros, right? So you want to kind of build on that form and that that confidence, right? But I don't know. They're seeing something different.
Apparently, he had a full crew got a calf knock on Thursday. So that's why he wasn't there. But, you know, we can talk about Somerville. When did he get brought in? I guess right at halftime. But it's again, these players that you bought them to play them. And we're now four games in. Your team is struggling to find goals. I think it's time you get these guys in early, right? Mm-hmm. Mikel Antonio, we love you. Friend of the pod. But... you're kind of old, man. You're kind of old man out. It's time to get replaced. You know, be that super sub in the FA Cup. Mm-hmm. Be that guy somewhere. Be the leader in the locker room. But you're 34. You got young guys waiting in the wings. And
yeah,
I hope their coach. Yeah. I hope their coach can kind of have the guts to make those switches.
Yeah, I think he'll need to. Otherwise, you know, West Ham, I think, is just gonna kind of continue to flounder like this. Like, you got Bowen up there, you got Kudus, you know, Paqueta, all these like great players, but then you're just kind of being let down in that like final attacking push, right? So, you know, yeah, injury will keep a player out, but I don't even feel confident that once he returns from an injury, Fulkrug is getting into the team with like how we've seen them play. So weird spot for West Ham. You know, they should be better and will have to get better. Let's see. I mean, they got Chelsea next, so maybe that'll be one where they kind of finally click and get things moving. But, yeah.
But maybe not. Chelsea could slot them, and it could go either way. It really could. And at that point, West Ham loses that game, and Leicester, Palace, and Ipswich win, which are all real possibilities. You're one spot away from relegation, which is not a great. We don't want to be there. I know it's early, but no one wants to be one spot away from relegation.
No.
So I don't know. Maybe that will be the holy shit moment where they have to then make some changes. I don't know why they're waiting until they're reaching what is close to rock bottom to say, you know what, this isn't working. Figure it out earlier, and you know, I want to say feelings might get hurt. But if it's for the betterment of the team, commit.
Do it.
Commit.
Yeah.
So that's my West Ham rant. Because I have them top four, Chad. And this is...
they got to get together because you're running out of time.
Me personally, they need to figure their shit out.
Yeah, for real. All
right. Are we on the last game? Oh, Palace and Leicester. Not a whole lot there. Jamie Vardy, whenever he scores, it is a party. I think we're all in agreement there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mateta finally on the score sheet. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
I think Leicester's kicking themselves, though.
I would agree. It looked like they, you know, I mean, kind of the same thing as Everton. You went up two. You know, you gotta... Okay, if you give up one goal, whatever, but, like, you can't... You can't let it get away, especially to a, you know, last minute foul and penalty. That's just points dropped. Certainly, like you need to take those points, and you know, that would have bumped you up to what, 13th.
Yeah. So
what could have been? But yeah, you know, Eddie Nketiah got his debut there at Palace. Looked pretty good from the little bit that I watched, but I think that top three of Nketiah, Mateta, and Eze, I think will work pretty well.
Could
maybe
be some
not like Olise levels, but I think it'll click.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah, Connor Cody just gifted that PK at the end. He was too late to the challenge and just caught his boot. I think it was on Lima. Who's number seven?
7 is Sar.
Sar. Sar just blew right by him. And last-ditch effort to maybe stop him, which was just a terrible decision to make.
Yeah.
And that's what put you in the situation. Connor Cody, man. I remember when we all had you in fantasy.
He, you know, he had his moment, but I think we've all moved on from him.
He got his 10 minutes here, and that's...
Yeah.
That might be enough. Might be enough. And then last but not least, Newcastle and Wolves. I caught that game today. Newcastle didn't look great until the last really 20 minutes of that game. The Shar goal, thought it was a complete banger until the unlucky header by Dawson.
Yeah.
That's so unlucky.
I still have it in my nominations, but like it won't win now. Like great goal still. I mean, could have been just so much sweeter.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see if it didn't hit his head where it would have gone, because it still looked like a great hit.
Yeah.
But the extra Dawson header, so unlucky. That's got to feel so awful. And then to score 5 minutes later, the Harvey Barnes goal, though, that was a nice one. I like that one a lot. I like that player, too.
Yeah, that was sweet. I think, he's... I feel like we've seen him do that a few times before when...
Yep.
He was at Leicester, and I think maybe even once or twice at Newcastle. Wolves, I feel like, played pretty well up until that, like, last 20, 30 minutes. They just kind of started to fall apart. Like, certainly didn't take advantage of some of the earlier chances they had. Still struggling down there. I don't see too much upside for Wolves either, unfortunately. But, I will say at the end, you know, when they're throwing everything forward to try and at least get a point out, they had some great opportunities.
Yep.
That, you know, forced Pope to make some really great saves. So they were close. You're right there. But, should have taking your chances earlier.
For sure. Absolutely. The Wolves last year weren't really a team that sat back. They were constantly putting pressure with Neto and Hwang, and that's what made them kind of that bogey team that no one really, really wanted to go against. They took down City last year.
Yeah.
So it's the possibility of this team scoring is, I don't want to say, it's not rare. They will score. But when you let the other team start controlling it, kind of like Newcastle with the speed they have on the wings. I do want to note, though, Isaac did go out this game, so that's an injury to look for. He got subbed out at halftime. Apparently, he took some knock that no one really knows about. I'm going to check. I don't know if there's an update on it.
A secret knock?
Secret knock. Yeah, he's not even on the injury report yet, but they said something happened, and the on-field reporter brought it up. So, something to keep your eyes on. Yep.
Okay, yeah.
All right, but that wraps it up for our games. Let's get to our nominations here, Chad. Mine are pretty straightforward for the most part. I'm going to start. I'll do team of the week here. I love the Aston Villa comeback against Everton, but it's Everton. There never should have been a comeback. So that's my biggest problem here. How can you not give flowers to Forest against Liverpool? That's like the clear and obvious choice here. Yes, Man United, you did great against Southampton, but...
Southampton.
Like the little voice in my head, Chad. Has to be Forest. 1-0 against Liverpool. One of the rare chances of their attack, they executed perfectly. Great swerve, great finesse shot, and that's why they're my nomination. Love to hear yours.
Same thought process, basically. Forest is going to be my pick. My only other one that I had in there was Arsenal.
Yep.
More so because of like the big missing pieces and still coming out with a win and good performance. But, you know, for Forest to go away to Liverpool is a big task anyway, especially if, you know, the Liverpool that we had been seeing. And, you know, maybe it wasn't the prettiest football we've ever seen, but did their thing, got the goal, and get the heck out of Dodge. So there you go.
Player, why don't you take it away?
I mean, honestly, I only got one, and it's Gabrielle.
Okay.
Just going off of who scored, it's one goal, two tackles, one interception, two blocks, eight clearances. Complete game, everything you want from a defender. And, you know, he was a rock back there and came up in a clutch moment. And maybe pushed too hard, maybe he didn't. I don't know, but the goal counted, so.
Gabby's on my list too, but I'm also giving props to Watkins for finally breaking his little drought, scoring two goals and a comeback victory. Everton, it does go a long way. It is a great confidence booster. He did look shaky. Now, if he didn't score against Everton here, I think red flags have been raised everywhere in both the real football world and the fantasy one. But you score two goals, people say, okay, you still have it in you. But yes, absolutely, Gabby, to keep a clean sheet and to score a towering header over Tottenham, got to feel good.
And sweet.
Yeah, got to feel good. all right, cool. We're, again, it's a lot of agreements here today, Chad. The goal scorer, though, this one is probably the most clear-cut and obvious, but I will give my my nominations. Harvey Barnes, who just spoke about it, great hit. For the winner, Alanga, because damn it, man, that one stung. I did not feel good after that went in. I think that happened at the 81st minute, and I was like, well, we got 9 minutes to go. Like, that's, you can get 2 and 9.
Yeah, it's not out of the question, honestly, but
I don't know if that's what it is. I verbally noted I was at the 72nd minute, but I think something, the subs happened for them at the 81st, and I was like, well, it's like maybe they're rusty. I mean,
still, yeah, we've seen, you know, Liverpool turn it on at the end of a game and almost like force a goal in.
Yeah. So
not out of the question.
Yeah, it didn't happen, though, so we move on. Nkunku's goal, I loved how it was like his first touch of the game, and he just weaved his way through players out. Muscling three guys in the box and then perfectly hitting it into the corner. And I don't know if you like this one, the Duran goal. I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was, you know, I thought it was pretty neat.
You know, my list is pretty similar. The only one I added in there was Rashford, just because it is like such a tight path that he found. But again, it felt like it was a hopeful shot / pass. Like, I don't think he really I don't think he saw that window and said, this is it, this is the goal I'm wanting to score. But it looked cool, so I'll give him that. And then, yeah, you know, it has to be Duran, though. You know, just an absolute banger from 30-40 yards out, whatever it was, and right into the top corner.
My god, that swerve,
so sweet. You know, keeper fully extended trying to save.
Was he thinking?
I don't even know.
What do you think? I got this. Like, the ball, like, to do that, though, from that far away against Pickford, who's, you know, he's been there, he's seen it.
Oh, yeah.
And Pickford did everything right, I think, in our playbooks of how to defend that. That was just the perfect shot. Perfect.
Perfect shot. Perfect power, you know, perfect, yeah, curve placement. It all, everything aligned, and, you know, it's, those ones are so fun to see, because it's just like, one, so far away, two, they feel like they come out of nowhere.
They have no business taking that shot.
Nonsense. So, I mean,
I couldn't find the XG on it, but I'm going to keep looking for it.
It's got to be so low. I mean, to take a shot from that far out? My God. But, you know, yeah, early goal of the season contender for sure. So,
I agree. And then for our meme of the week, the roller coaster of a game that Zach Fisher posted last night, where the corner was taken. Low-key thought it was Everton for a second until I saw the championship banner. I don't remember the exact team off the top of my head. Cardiff? It was Cardiff and Rams.
Maybe. I forget where
he was. It
ended up, but
probably highlights.
Oh, I think it was in highlights. Yeah. Yeah. Hang on.
Derby in Cardiff. The roller coaster, Chad, that we went on in that. I was showing Kristen. They're on the breakaway, and the defender and the goalkeeper are like straight up having a conversation as whoever it is going 1,000 miles per hour at them. It just looks hilarious when he takes the ball. And then, of course, you know, we're like, oh, so shit. And then when he misses, oh, my God. So
why did he shoot there? Like, you could have gotten so much close. You could have ran it in.
He toe-poked it. I don't know. It was biggest question mark of the day. So I leave you with this. What was worse in that sequence, the miss or the defending?
I think I'll say the defending, just because there is that moment where, like, defender and keeper are just like, no. The miss is very bad, but I think the defending is the real highlight there.
That's fair. We've seen terrible misses before. The miss was surprising because of how bad the defending was. Usually the misses happen when the defending is, like, somewhat, like, average. But, like, the weird conversation and the goalie at the last second decided to just throw his body at the ball doing absolutely nothing. It's classic. Classic. That's meme of the week. There is no other nomination. And we end with that, Chad. It has been a pleasure. Good luck to City. Please.
It's going to happen.
Please.
We're going to do it.
Please. Please. Until next time, this is the Hooligan Pitch. We're out.
Peace.